Live, and we are launching into the second hour of the program. You are invited, as always, to take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free and bring up anything, 800-259-9231. It's 1-800-259-9231, and tonight it's Ian with you.
And Garth.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site for free, so enjoy those on us, including our webcam. Go to cam.freetalklive.com. You'll see not only this program air, but also the other programs on the Liberty Radio Network as well. And the cam is brought to you by memorydealers.com. Plus, there's a chat room on the cam page, so you get to watch, listen, and chat with other listeners all at the same time, all for free at cam.freetalklive.com. Again, brought to you by memorydealers.com. We continue here. We'll take your phone calls. Also, coming up, are you a domestic terrorist? Well, possibly. The FBI might just consider you so if you believe that you're a sovereign. Let's go to Jericho, listening to WSVG in Mount Jackson, Virginia. Jericho, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's up, guys?
What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, great day to be alive, man.
It always is.
Hey, well, right now it seems that anybody who disagrees with the government or has anything to say against anybody in the government right now are branded by the government as either racist or domestic terrorist. You know, so I guess in that case, I guess all three of us or all four of us, you know, but I mean, but in reality, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I mean, I have no thoughts anything want to attack my government. I think a political assassination is the worst thing you can do to a sitting government because of the disruption it could do. I have no violent thoughts at all. You know, 15 years ago, Oklahoma City, that was terrible. Nobody wants to see anything like that kind of stuff, but they need to understand a lot. 80% of the people are upset right now. They need to start watching the polls. Washington, D.C. needs to be swept clean completely.
It needs to be done. I'm sorry to laugh at you for that one, but, I mean, come on. How many times has that been said?
Oh, it's been said, but nothing's going to get better until it happens.
When do you think that'll happen?
Honestly, I'd be shocked if it happened in my lifetime.
All right, then. So what's the point in even saying it? I mean, if you don't believe that it could be true.
Is what I'm saying is me and the average American are not a domestic terrorist. We don't want to go blowing around the FBI, you know, FBI buildings in Oklahoma City. That's a fluke thing, a crazy person. You know, they need to quit with the domestic terrorist brands and the racist brands and see what the cause of our anger is. It's them.
Why should they care? You're just going to keep paying them.
Yeah, and it's in their best.
People need to stop paying them. That's the whole kicker stop paying them.
That is because indeed an important step, I would say. Not only stop paying, because if you stop paying the federal government, that's not the end of the world for them. They can just keep printing more money. So they have to be essentially replaced. There has to be alternative currencies out there in use so people can protect the value of the money, that the wealth that they're creating, so we can separate ourselves from their fiat dollar. And at the same time, people need to non-cooperate, to where if the government comes in and demands things of you and your business, that you just simply say, I'm not interested in this anymore. But you did use the term my government, and that's one of the other things I disagree with you on, is they're not my government. I'm not interested in having a government that is based in coercion and aggression.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the way they act now, that is the way it happens.
Coercion, well, when have they not acted that way?
Well, back in the beginning with the founding, I don't think it was set up to act that way. I believe it's
you might be
perverted.
Surprised.
I believe it's been perverted to act that way.
You might be surprised. You know, some would say that they broke the Constitution moments after it was written.
Oh, they certainly did. And
oh, that could very well have been. I mean, the Declaration of Independence being forged and signed was, you know, political bickering and payoffs, just like it is today.
Well,
I don't know if you ever seen a movie called John Adams. It was an HBO special. That was a great, great, great movie.
I prefer Sam Adams, actually. John Adams was a little bit, you know, but you know what I mean. John Adams was more of a statist. Sam Adams was much more of a radical. Adams was much more inclined
Jefferson
to.
Jefferson was more of a radical.
Jefferson
was more of a radical, too, than Adams.
Yeah. But actually, I just wanted to mention something to you. You brought something really interesting up, and the idea of my government that you guys were discussing. What's interesting is, even if it is hypothetically, you know, just talking as a nice lesson to derive from this about politics, is even, let's say, you feel comfortable at some point in your life, you could feel like, yeah, okay, I'll call it my government. It's never everybody's government. That's the problem. All government is predicated on forcing someone. So
yeah,
it could
as
be
long
your
as it's
government.
Using force, it's not everybody's
exactly.
Government.
So it doesn't matter, even if it's the best government around, the very fact that it is government means, because it's the opposite of the market. Yeah,
the people who set our country up you know, our founding fathers hated government. And I truly believe...
Well, if they hated government, why would they set one up?
Well, you had to set something up. You need some kind of government action. But I mean,
maybe in their paradigm they felt that way.
Well, I think that there's a difference between 1776 and today. I mean, maybe they really did. I don't know. I can't deal with the past, but I can deal with the present. Maybe they really did because, you know, people got around on horseback and things like that. But in today's culture where, you know, messages are transferred in an instant and there's so much communication that goes on, I don't think that we need a coercive government telling everyone how to operate in a geopolitical landmass. I think that you can probably have a bevy of governments working together in the same way that we have a bevy of credit card companies and a bevy of insurance companies that all govern behavior of their you know, customers.
But you mean by consent. You mean by
government behavior through consent. I mean,
yeah. And
you guys are in New Hampshire there, right?
Yes, sir.
I personally believe much more needs to be put on the state rights, state levels of government.
I agree. I think that secession is necessary.
I feel different in New Hampshire than I do in Virginia. And I know I feel different to people in California.
Probably true.
Good example, state of Massachusetts. They passed their own health care thing, what was it, 2006?
Yeah, look how that's working out for them.
It's not working out good for them at all.
No. Thanks, Jericho, for the call. We appreciate hearing from you tonight. You're right on the health care point there. And Jericho's points, what's interesting is we're at what some people might think is one end of a spectrum. You know, and the founders, we talked about the right to exit, and they adhered very closely to the idea of make as many – we've been able to learn from their mistakes and some of their corruption from that time. Alexander Hamilton was a corrupt guy. John Adams was leaning in that direction. Sam Adams was much more radical. He was on the Jeffersonian side. Madison, I think, learned his lesson later on. But what's interesting is we've been able to see their mistakes, how the Constitution has not stopped this growth of government, how the words on paper didn't stop people from just overlooking those words on paper and doing whatever the heck they wanted. And you can have human forces that can cite that paper, but if there are more human forces that overlook it, then screw it. What's interesting is the founders did seem to recognize the concept of the right to exit. And they said, you know what? They weren't willing to go as far as we were. And even the anti-federalists, they wanted a much smaller confederation. Their idea was much healthier, I think, as far as having competing governments so that if you didn't like it, you could get away. And the larger the area of control, the less opportunity there is to take advantage of that right to exit, to get away. And so that's one of the principles that the founders at least understood. And I would be very, very willing to go back to that sort of a concept so we have these competing areas of government if I can't get to my ideal of no government at all.
You know, I think that one of the things that really traps Americans into the mindset that, oh, my God, we can't. You can't talk about states having nullification rights or seceding or declaring independence or anything like that. It's just the whole mindset that the USA is the best, this kind of...
jingoistic nationalism. Yeah.
This
huge.
Kind of yay Red Sox kind of thing. Yeah. Well, as if you have anything to do with the government of the United States, as if it running around the world and enforcing its rules on other people so that its companies can better compete in the marketplace, overrun the marketplace, as if that does anything for you and yours.
And the thing about that is then they seem to have this intellectual disconnect when the nation citizens, civilians get attacked by terrorists who don't like U.S. foreign policy, and they say, well, it has nothing to do with U.S. foreign policy.
Who could disagree with that?
Those are innocent civilians. Well, you know, the foreigners don't look at those civilians as innocent because people keep saying, we are America.
Mm.
So you can't have it both ways.
All the more reason to get the hell out of this concept known as the United States, to abolish the idea in people's minds if
I
we possibly can.
Federal government's all over, honestly. I mean, I don't want
to cry. You mean?
What's that?
You mean it's all over? Like
in general, I don't think you should just single out the United States as a bad government.
Yeah.
The all government, you know, the coercive model of the
it's really
state.
Really, the only
is
one
bad.
I'm too concerned with, though, at this moment. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. You can take control of the airwaves. Because the New Hampshire government, they don't have as many tanks. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
Are you prepared or are you hardcore prepared? Get hardcore equipped at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested with Canadian and U.S. forces, so we know it's tough. What kind of gear? Our own brands. Arctic Warrior, Homeland Defender, Sandbox Avenger, Urban Peacekeeper. More than 30,000 products and 90% of it made in Canada and the U.S. See it all at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. Get 72-hour survival kits, Ultima boots, HW1 gloves, tactical link slings, EMA tactical weapon equipment, everything you need to be hardcore prepared. Deal with TacTownGear.com personnel with more than 25 years experience in military and law enforcement. Call now, 418-844-9111. That's 418-844-9111. Or go to TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Solutions for your area of operation.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Get incredible grip, no matter what the conditions, when you wear MaxFit gloves. Everyone from boaters, fishermen, mechanics, plumbers, farmers, senior citizens, and gardeners are all wearing MaxFit gloves for better grip. MaxFit gloves are made with thin glove technology that is ultra-thin, breathable, will reduce muscle fatigue when planting gardens, pulling weeds, or anywhere you need a more youthful grip. Watch incredible MaxFit gloves videos online at MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFit gloves improve dry grip strength by up to 37% and improve your grip up to 400%. Better than bare hands in wet or oily conditions. If arthritis has crippled your grip, or if you work with your hands and depend on a good grip, then MaxFit gloves are for you. Right now, get two free pair of MaxFit gloves when you go to MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFitGloves.com and use promo code radio or call 1-877-552-5206. That's 1-877-552-5206. MaxFit gloves, incredible grip in any conditions.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. This is SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. 9231 and tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Garb.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site for free, and those features include our archives. Go back for over a year. You can actually go all the way back to the beginning of 2009 in our podcast. It's free for you at freetalklive.com. Now, would it surprise you to know that in the history of the drug war, that no one charged with felony dispensing of cannabis has ever taken it to trial?
Well, I don't know about the rest of the country, but here in New Hampshire, Sovereign Curtis is going to do so, risking 7 years in prison. And the Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org wants to help Curtis win his case and possibly overturn the insane war on drugs. In order to do that, we need you to chip in to help Curtis and sign up for a monthly contribution at cdevolution.org. Also, there's a chip in there. If you're not ready to do a monthly contribution, you can just throw in whatever you think's appropriate into the Curtis Legal Defense Fund chip in, also at cdevolution.org. Last time I looked at it, which was this morning, it was at 11%. So we're getting, you know, it's a good start. It's something. And so every little bit counts over at cdevolution.org. As we continue, we take your phone calls. Still to come, the FBI reporting that sovereign people are domestic terrorists. We'll see what they have to say. But first, it's Curtis in New Hampshire, or excuse me, Curtis in Minnesota, actually. Curtis, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, Curtis? Good afternoon, or good evening.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I just need some clarification on income tax. And this stems from a discussion I had with somebody, and I found out I was wrong, but I was under the assumption that income tax are basically for consumers or residential non-corporate income tax payers.
Oh, I'm not a legal expert or a lawyer, and I don't know what their system says. The income tax isn't for me because I don't support the government. I don't know about all their rules and stuff like that, because you can try whatever argument you want in front of them, and they will basically tell you this. They will say, that's frivolous, and you can't say that here.
Okay. Well,
you can even point to their own rules. It's all been tried by the tax freedom advocates, people out there like Irwin Schiff, who's a man in his 80s who's actually sitting in jail right now, a number of other folks, Larkin Rose included. They have done the research. They have dug through the laws and the codes and the statutes and all that and the Internal Revenue Service Code and their rules and everything. And they've come up with some really great questions and some really great points about how the government's own rules say it's voluntary, but none of it works. Even if you believe you've got the ironclad argument.
This is the one.
The man in the robe is going to reject what you have to say and call it frivolous and say interpretation. So really it doesn't matter what the answer to you, in my opinion, it does not matter what the answer to your questions are on that topic.
Well, I understand that. My question is that I was under the assumption that all income taxes just basically go into a big black hole. In other words, it just pays off the interest on the debt.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that is true. I have no way of confirming that. That's what I've heard.
It may be that income taxes. I mean, sure. If you could tax a group of people, if you could force them to do what you want, I mean, you'd take their money and do what you wanted to do with it. It may be that the income tax is about the amount of the interest on the debt. It may be that it's more. It may be
maybe
that
less.
It's less.
But that's what I have heard. We've heard that on this program. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not.
Well, yeah, well, I've heard it, and I've heard some people say that, you know, it just goes entirely to pay off the interest, and then the government borrows the rest, and they just keep piling the debt on us.
Well, that's definitely true. They definitely keep borrowing and printing money and piling up debt. But again, how are they piling debt on you? Did you consent to that? Did you consent to be the creditor for them?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I have no choice. I have to pay it or suffer the uncertain consequences of that.
That's the truth. That is definitely the truest statement so far in this conversation. I mean, there's no doubt that if you don't pay, there is a chance that they might do something about it. But it's only a chance.
Right. Well,
and there's also, by the way, the chance they'll do something to you even if you do pay.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I totally understand the situation. In my research, I tried to dig into it, but I discovered that the amount from the government sites that we're paying about 500 or half a trillion a year on the interest payments, but that they're collecting about maybe a million or a trillion from just, you know, regular income taxes, not including the corporate. So I was just trying to figure out, you know, who's right here. I mean, some people say this is what's going on here. It's all going into the big black hole. Other people say, no, that's not exactly true. And I just wonder what you guys had to have to say about that?
I have no answers to that particular, that particular statement. But I did find something that I found interesting. Maybe you can dig around on this one. Is I saw on a website called I think it was Government
debt clock?
Yeah, debt clock. Yeah, debtclock.us. That's yeah. debtclock.us.
US debtclock. Whatever.
Something like that. And they said that there were 109 million filers for income tax. And I don't know if that means that there are 109 million people that pay income tax or 109 million income tax forms that were filed. I can't answer that.
Because a lot of those people could be getting the earned income tax credit and are actually sucking money from other people.
Well, they would be. And there are 330 million people in the United States, and I don't know if that counts illegals or whatever. But, you know, so that means that about a third of them are actually filing income tax. And then if you read the story that came up recently, about a half of them are actually paying because the other half don't pay income tax that file. They get an income tax credit or money back and that kind of thing. So really only one-sixth of the U.S. population is paying income tax. And, you know, that's a sad little number that I was involved in at some point.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I've got some information from TreasuryDirect.gov on the expected interest for fiscal year 2010. And they go through it for the rest of the year, March through, only March through October. And it is an astronomical amount for the interest on the debt. And it's a number that I don't even feel
like
repeating.
Does it surpass the government's budget?
It seems to be, but I'm
more than $3 trillion.
I have to look into this more.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, hey, thanks for the call tonight, Curtis. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live, Ian Gardner and Mark.
Hey guys, good evening.
What's on your mind tonight, Mike?
I'm trying to understand more about this voluntary society you guys keep talking about and how it works.
Sure. It doesn't work.
And specifically, I wanted to try and understand how the use of force in a voluntary society could be justified, if at all.
It's a great question.
And I've kind of broken up the use of force into four categories. I've broken it up into state on individual, which is what we're in now, and which I consider to be the police state.
Mm-hmm.
Individual on state, meaning, you know, kind of like domestic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Use of force of state on state, which is considered war. And then use of force of individual on individual, which would be
crime.
Either like a crime or self-defense.
Right, so you want to address the fourth one particularly, I imagine.
Exactly. That's
okay.
Exactly.
We'll let you hang on, and we'll bring you back. We'll talk about it. 800-259-9231. It's one of the trickier issues here, and we'll enjoy Gardner's viewpoint as another principal voluntarist in the room. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. How does a voluntary society deal with aggressive individuals? Free Talk Live.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202 or visit readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
Hi, I'm Sarah Atkins, inventor of Better Than Rocks, the one-of-a-kind solution to planter drainage. A few years ago, I searched for a lightweight product to put in the bottom of my containers to help with drainage. I found there was nothing on the market, so I decided to develop something myself. The result is Better Than Rocks. It keeps soil in, lets excess water out, and helps oxygen reach the plant's roots by creating an air pocket in the bottom of the planter. This helps the plant absorb nutrients, which is necessary to grow healthy plants. Better Than Rocks is practically weightless, so your containers will be lighter. And it's made of 100% recycled plastic right here in North America. You can reuse it year after year, so it should never end up in a landfill.
I discovered Better Than Rocks last year, and I was happy to find my plants were much healthier, fuller, and the containers were easy to move around.
Ask for Better Than Rocks at your favorite garden center, or visit
BetterThanRocks.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free and bring up anything. 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231 tonight. It's Ian with you.
Vanguard.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. The Shrine of Female Listeners is one of them. You can go to shrine.freetalklive.com and see the ladies, dozens of them, that have sent us their validated photo or video showing they are indeed listeners of the program. Go to shrine.freetalklive.com.
So my son Jack was reading one of his favorite books. It's called An Island Called Liberty Today, and he was going through it on his little table. He's got a little toddler table that's about 12 inches off the ground. And he was kind of jabbering to himself as he read it, and then he got to the page where the police officer's telling somebody, scolding somebody for smoking, and he goes, "Oh no!" It was really funny. If you want your child to get An Island Called Liberty, all you have to do is go to freemarketunderdog.com because, well, our kids need to be educated about liberty as early as possible. Freemarketunderdog.com, An Island Called Liberty.
All right, 800-259-9231. Right back into your phone calls. We go to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live, and your question was in regards to the so-called voluntary society, as is often discussed on this program as a goal worthy of attaining, moving from the current coercive governmental society and structure to one based in consent of
individuals.
I love these questions because I think people do have worries about this sort of thing. And also, when you get into debates with people, they say, well, you're all opposed to government forcing people. How do you suppose you're going to have a voluntary society that will come up with the protection? And how do you address people attacking each other? And if it is going to protect people, isn't that some use of force? Is that legitimate inside your voluntary society?
I think the answer, and Mike, are you still with us?
Yeah, my, you know, specifically, my question is on crimes on individual against individual, because it seems you're obviously opposed to all three of the first that I discussed, state on individuals, individual against the state, and state versus state.
Well, right, because we're opposed to
the gray area, in my, what I'm having trouble comprehending is in the area of, like, let's say, self-defense.
I got you.
Obviously, you've said on the show that you agree that the use of force is acceptable in cases such as self-defense. This is kind of a clear-cut example.
Let's lay down a couple of points here before we continue, and that is that you're right, at least as far as Guard, myself, and I think Mark as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. But the idea of the state is it's just a group of individuals, of course, using violence on people. So if we can end the legitimacy of the concept of the coercive state, you've ended all of the first three. You no longer have state on individual. You no longer have individual on state. You no longer have state on state because the concept of the state has been delegitimized in the minds of the individual. So now we only have to deal with that one type of violence. So we've already wiped out a tremendous amount of violence and coercion from the world. I mean, this is an incredible step on its own. Then we have to figure out how the marketplace would deal with individual on individual
violence.
Right,
and I think that what people are concerned with here is stability, as the terminology goes. When you look around the world, people are concerned with stability. It doesn't matter that governments around the world might execute a great deal of their citizens or whatever it is that they might do, as long as it's stable. And I think that, you know, to some extent that, you know, that's a part of the issue that sort of needs to be overcome, is that we can create our own stability by taking our protection into our own hands and realizing that the state doesn't do that much in, along the lines of protection, I don't think, personally.
And I think that one of the key things to look at as we start to look at this final of the options is within the stateless society, as Ian brought up, you have a question of what would the market produce? Can we start to imagine what the market would do to come up with stability within a non-government situation where force could legitimately be used, but on a voluntary basis? And the market does produce these sorts of reactions and these sorts of systems. And one of the great things that I often bring up is, just as an example before we get too far into it, is a lot of people question whether or not any of the answers we come up with would be possible. And just to let you know, the answer to that is always, in my opinion, is always look at the existence of money, because money came about before governments existed. And if people were not able to come up with their own social interactions and form their own market institutions, and the market is really just societal interaction without government, then what you wouldn't have money having existed. This exchange would have fallen apart because people would have preyed on each other too much. So they must have come up with something. What it was, through history, you can see the British common law, before they started to codify it, was a system of people working with other people. And they started to come up with their own rules. In our hypothetical, in our abstract idea of the stateless society, we can say that there is an incentive for people to come up with their own rules on what would happen in X, Y, Z, A, B, C scenarios of force being used. Right, Ian?
I would say that's true. And, whatever those scenarios are, it's not likely you'd have some sort of one-size-fits-all law that then a judge is being forced to cram whoever the person is into a certain category or minimum sentence or whatever it is that the governmental strictures have been applied to. But just to rewind a little bit, the other things we have to look at is when we're getting to the voluntary society, because the state is now delegitimized and no longer exists, that ends the war on drugs, which on its own will dramatically decrease the amount of violent crime and property crime against individuals.
Can I just interject? Because, I mean, you're throwing a lot of broad stuff at me here. I'd like to try and focus on maybe one specific example. Let's just say we're in a voluntary society and somebody goes and murders another individual. Gotcha. Obviously, that is going to be a crime. So then how in the voluntary society then deal with that crime? Is there going to be a judge? Is there a judicial system?
That's a good question, and I want to talk about that.
Is there some sort of police that investigate it? I mean, how do they determine if it was self-defense or if you murdered somebody?
He's looking for the nuts and bolts, not the, the theoretical stuff. But the other thing to point out is that murders and other violent crimes would also be lessened, as I mentioned, because of ending the government's war on drugs.
Yeah, I got that they're lessened. I get it. But what about the cases where they do happen?
Defend themselves as well, so self-defense would be legal, and so therefore it'd be less likely.
Well, let's talk about that. Self-defense, for example. Obviously, there's degrees of self-defense. I mean, you can't expect that it would be justified to shoot someone for maybe hitting you with a garden hose.
Clearly, and that's when arbitration comes into.
There's got to be some sort of level self-defense becomes.
You are correct, and that is why arbitration comes into to play here. Arbitration is the answer to the question that you're looking for. You replace the one-size-fits-all government judicial system, which in no way is doing anything that resembles justice in general, with competing systems of arbitrators that parties are able to choose which arbitrator they use based on, you know, a variety of factors that the marketplace would be demanding. But of course, you would inevitably point out that the aggressor, whoever it is the murderer allegedly is, would not be so interested necessarily in submitting himself voluntarily to arbitration. Unless, of course, you know, he didn't do it, in which case he probably would be interested in defending himself. But let's deal with the question of the reticent individual who just, I don't want to go to your arbitration. Okay, well, if that's the case, and you are, you know, if you're not an upstanding member of society, because upstanding people would likely want to go to arbitration to, you know, protect their reputations, because reputations will be very valuable in the free marketplace. The individual who is not consenting to this, if you have evidence that this is the person who committed the crime, and this is the most important part, I think, of this discussion, is if you've got evidence that this person did the crime, then they violated their own rights by violating somebody else. They've given up their own rights, if you will, by violating somebody else's. And I think you're fully within your purview to have some sort of bounty hunter or whatever protection agency bring that person into some kind of custody and subject them to some sort of arbitration.
And Ian, just before the break, I know we're heading to the break, but this, what Ian is talking about right now is just one example. And the best thing to do is to look at insurance companies. To look at, if we're talking about this, you're already thinking about hypotheticals of what could happen in the stateless society, and there'll be multiple people thinking about the same thing, coming up with their own arrangements.
We're going to come back here with more. We'll hang on to you here, Mike, to continue the discussion. This is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's. Let's Fix Dinner. Find dinner ideas to bring your family together at the table at letsfixdinner.com. Juggling schedules so that everyone eats together can be tough. Try starting with one family dinner a week, whenever you can fit it in. Take turns picking the meal and have everyone pitch in. Working together will bring your family closer, even if it is just once a week. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
In the late 21st century, the hardiest, most daring adventurers have begun to colonize the solar system, where untold mineral riches await them. Jealous of their wealth and fearful of their freedom, the government of Earth is determined to extend their power to this new frontier by any means necessary. Escape from Terra, an illustrated science fiction saga from Big Head Press. Read it online at escapefromterra.com.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on healthcare and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. This is SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site for free, so enjoy those on us. And that's freetalklive.com. And if you want to help support this program, you can do that by shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Just enter Amazon through that link. Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. So start your shopping over at amazon.freetalklive.com.
Lumethanplus.com. If you've tried losing weight other ways and you just can't stick to diets and you're not interested in doing workouts and you can't handle pills that make you all jittery, Lumethan Plus works for me. I think it'll work for you. Give it a shot. It's lumethanplus.com. It's been priced so that you can do it for less than a dollar a day, and that's pretty good. You take one pill in the morning time, one pill in the afternoon, and it suppresses your appetite, and, you know, that's what it's all about, reducing calorie intake. LumethanPlus.com.
We're talking with Mike in Florida, who I believe is still with us. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And we're talking about an issue that I think is really important, so I'm glad you brought it up, and that's why we've gone through here, and we're on our second full segment now of discussing this, and that is the question of, well, in this, you know, this ideal voluntary society, which, by the way, is not a utopia, it will dramatically lessen the violence and coercion that we experience in society. But in this voluntary, consent-based society, what if people still hurt each other? And I think it's inevitable that there will still be human-on-human conflicts of various different levels of severity. And so that's where the competitive arbitration system comes into play. And as I was explaining earlier, in the incident where somebody murders somebody else, which is probably the worst thing that can possibly happen to another individual, then and by the way, what I'm suggesting here is only, as you mentioned, Gardner, one possible option. There are some people that would say, well, it's inappropriate for the protection agency to send a bounty hunter to arrest that person, even if they know that that he did it. Some people would make that argument and that they would arrest all upon ostracism and essentially, you know, not allowing
excluding that person
and destroying their
reputation. Isn't a bounty hunter bound by less rules than, say, a law enforcement officer?
Here's the thing you're missing is that it's a very important point to make.
is that in the voluntary society, the various different protection agencies and bounty hunters and et cetera that would be out rounding up criminals
exactly.
would actually be liable for mistakes.
They would have to respond to consumer interests.
Okay, so let me stop you there. But liable to whom?
Liable to the person they aggress against.
Are we talking about a court system?
I just want to mention a couple things. I think what we're doing here is you're concentrating on a number of specifics, which is very good as an intellectual exercise. That's interesting, and it takes you in a lot of very different hypothetical directions. The key here, just to answer your question about the bounty hunters and so on, is this. Police protection system, bounty hunter systems would not be able to survive if they did not respond to consumer demand. The consumer demand would be predicated on what works best for these individuals as they decide to enter, if we're dealing with a hypothetical, the stateless society. The decision to enter the stateless society brings with it a number of connotations, such as one does when he enters into buying an insurance policy. The very fact that we're discussing these hypotheticals and coming up with these questions now, this is something that anyone entering the stateless society would start to do. And those stateless societies would formulate their own rules and respond to the consumer demand better than the state can respond to consumer demand. Protection agencies respond. And one more point is that these stateless societies would come up with rules a priori.
Let's just take that example, though, of, like, reputation being the driving force of, keeping these people in business. Invariably, some of these bounty hunters would develop the reputation of being, badass or, inflicting severe justice, and I'm sure some people would want to hire them, to get good revenge. Let's say they murdered somebody, and this bounty hunter developed the reputation of, torturing his victims before bringing them in, and you said, "Oh, I want that guy."
But others might get reputations. Others might get reputations of torturing innocent people.
I guess
it works both ways.
I guess what you're talking about there.
Let me just ask this: in the voluntary society, is there a judicial system that regulates like this type of behavior? And when you say they're liable. Liable to whom?
Liable to the victim.
How do you bring them in for justice? I mean, how do you hold them liable?
Let me give you an example real quick. Let me give you a quick example. Let's say these guys are entering business, right? You've got police protection agencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're already talking about these questions. So would you approach one of these companies unless they had something set up whereby they connected with an arbitration system and they said, we will deal with these guys, and if we don't, we voluntarily agree to have this happen to us, we will pay out that.
Well, don't you think, though, that the person who's doing the hiring, they're going to be being favored by that agency? I mean, obviously,
the other person is
going to go hire another independent.
Right.
You need some sort of a neutral third party.
That's what the arbitrators are. The arbitrators are neutral third parties.
But they really can't be neutral if somebody's paying them. If you're paying them, then they're on your side, aren't they?
You see, what you're missing here, and if you just let me for a moment here, I'll explain.
Yeah.
The arbitrator can only be used if both parties agree to it. So if both parties are agreeing, then both parties are willing to pay the arbitrator. The only party that ends up paying is the party who loses.
But then how does justice get served if no parties ever agree, which in my personal opinion, I don't think would happen very often.
Do you want the answer? Here it is. If you've got two parties who can't agree on an arbitrator, then each party selects its own arbitrator, and the two arbitrators then agree, usually via pre-existing agreements between the companies, as to which arbitrator they will use to arbitrate. Now, that triples the cost of the arbitration, so it's in the both parties' financial interest to pick an arbitrator they agree on. And it shouldn't be that hard, because in many cases, people will have existing agreements and that sort of thing, and these arbitrators will have reputation in the marketplace, and they'll have reputation as fair arbitrators that people are comfortable with going to.
Now, Mike, I'd like to take this on.
Listen, guys, I mean, I'm sorry. I know I'm on a tight time budget here. So, I mean, I just personally think that that's going to lead to a more chaotic society which personally I'm okay with because I believe that stability is usually on one side of the scale and liberties on the other. I just think it's going to lead to more violence. And
Mike,
personally, I'm okay with that. Let me just ask you this, though.
Oh God,
wait,
please,
Mike.
I haven't had a chance to address this at all, Mike, and I really want to. First off, you're talking about the 1%. I mean, you know, at the point where we've taken 99% of the government peel off of the onion, we're talking about this 1% at the very end. This is like us talking about what it's going to be like when we have Star Trek transporters and replicators and life looks like Star Wars or whatever, okay? So
that's why he called in. He wants to talk about
but you're talking about these things. So these are, you know, Australopithecus Man talking about 747s. And we can speculate all we want, but for you to say, well, I don't believe, well, yeah, okay, how interesting. The marketplace will figure those things out when that time comes. What my goal now is to peacefully peel the size of government down to that point. I don't think you and I are going to be dealing with this particular problem, Mike. Do you?
Well, no, probably not. But maybe we will. And so it's still important to talk about it. And one of the questions that you asked a couple times, and I don't think you got a straight answer from anybody yet, was, well, who's going to be? How are they going to be liable for when they make a mistake? And it's because they want to protect their reputation that they'll be very cautious in who they pick up for criminal acts. If they pick up somebody that is not the guilty party, then they'll be fully liable for kidnapping that person against their full rights to be a free individual, and that will cost them dearly, not only in money and that they'd have to pay out and make good to the person that they went after, but also in their reputation, and that people may not want to hire a company that makes mistakes and ends up having to pay out. Their insurance companies aren't going to want to back their policies anymore, and that they're insuring them to make the right decisions. And you compare that against the police, who, when they make a mistake, you end up going to jail for however many years, and then if they happen to catch that they made a mistake, it's, oh, we're sorry, and they let you out. And there's usually no money that goes along with it. There's no incentive on the part of the government monopoly to not make mistakes. And in the voluntary society, the incentives will be there for these companies to make sure they get the right person. Otherwise, they're in trouble.
And we already see in the marketplace today that reputation is the most important thing for businesses. Businesses rely on making a good name for themselves. The vast majority of people buying products and the vast majority of people selling products and services rely on good word of mouth and good advertising for themselves. And the same sort of thing would operate in any sort of private, non-state justice system. It's the same sort of thing. If we know that today in the marketplace we have incentives to go to the good guys and the bad guys go out of business, the same thing happens in any service we're asking for protection and justice.
Mike, I recommend the Market for Liberty. It's a great book that really gets into detail and some of the nuts and bolts on how the voluntary society might work when it comes to justice. And again, we're still kind of speculating on what might happen. As Mark said, we don't really know exactly how the marketplace would arrange itself. I thank you for the call, Mike. Appreciate the discussion. It's a useful one. Hour 3 is coming up. Free Talk Live.
Do you need a new computer but don't seem to have the money to buy one? Is your credit stopping you from buying the newest computers that you need today? Then My Computer Club is your answer to buy that new computer or laptop now and pay for it later. Finance top quality new computers and laptops and hundreds of other electronics. There are no credit checks, no turndowns. If you're 18 years or older and have proof of income, you're approved. Prices start at just $22 a month. Go to mypccredit.com and finance your new computer today. That's mypccredit.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.